Johnny's are back.
Okay. I think we're all, I heard a lot of beeps.
Okay. Okay. Well, it is very exciting for me to have the opportunity to introduce our brother for this hour. I have a lot of love, and I think, as we all do, have a lot of love for our brother and a lot of respect for our brother. And so it is exciting that we have this chance that he, a guest speaker for the hour today, and everyone knows him, and so not a lot of introduction needed, but I would ask that each of you would offer a prayer for our brother Brickhouse at this time. And so the speaker of our hour, Brother Buzz Brickhouse. Hopefully our brother Buzz is with us. Buzz, are you still there with us? Are you still there with us?
I'm sure not hearing him.
Right. Well, I'll, Buzz, I'm going to start over here real quick. I apologize about that. We went ahead and started, but you're the important speaker of the hour, so we shouldn't speak about you.
I heard everything, but I lost you.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, good. Well, I will then turn it over to you, Brother Buzz.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah,
am I still
here.
On?
Yeah,
we're on. We hear you.
I apologize. I was just trying to turn on my speakerphone, and I can't. So I'll just talk. But I'm thankful to be with you all this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school. If you have trouble hearing me, please just let me know. Sue says I mumble, which is probably true. But I am thankful, and I wanted to send greetings to all of you from our brothers and sisters in India. I recently, about a month ago now, I guess, was in India for 10 days with Brother Adam Porter. And they wanted to make sure I passed on to everybody their greetings and their love, and that they remember all of you in their prayers. We had a good meeting. I don't know what anybody knows about our work there in India, but we've been going there for about 3 years now, and we have probably 60 to 70 members in several congregations. There's, I think, 3 congregations now. And our people are located on the east side of India, near the Sea of Bengal. They all work in, or most of them work in on rice plantations in the rice paddies, 12 hours a day. They're very poor, very humble. It's a humbling experience, and you see them, and they have complete faith and trust in the Lord. And it's mindful when I was there, and we were talking about the blessings of the Holy Spirit and met at Sunday school, and Benny had mentioned the blessings of administration, and while we were there, we saw many of those, and the people there have complete faith and trust and in administration. And we probably administered to 350 people while we were there. One day in particular, we we probably did 100 after a service. Yeah, and that's a humbling experience because they have complete faith and trust, and yet to some extent they've been compelled by their economic status and somewhat of their culture status also. As you may or may not know, that in India the caste system still exists to some extent, and most of our members there cannot read. They have no books. There are some that can read, of course, and there's one that speaks English. And a couple of the younger generation can understand some. The 10-year-olds are getting some in school and they'll try it on you. But while I was there and at Psalm, I would relate to the experience of the people of the Zermanites, the lower income people that had been persecuted by the people of the church. And the writings of Alma in the 16th chapter of Alma. And I'd just like to read some of that. They were concerned because they had been cast out of their meeting places and they didn't have any place to meet. And I'm going to start reading a few verses on page 421 in the 16th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to start in the 129th verse. Behold, thy brother has said, what should we do? For we are cast out of our synagogues, that we cannot worship our God. Behold, I say unto you, do you suppose that you cannot worship God, save it be in your synagogues only? And moreover, I would ask, do you suppose that you must not worship God only once in a week? I say unto you, it is well that you are cast out of your synagogues, that you may be humble, and that you may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that you should learn wisdom. For it is because that ye are cast out that you are despised of your brethren, because of your exceeding poverty that you are brought to a lowliness of heart, that you are of necessity, I guess, brought to be humble. And now because you are compelled to be humble, blessed are you, for a man sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. And now surely, whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now as I said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, ye are blessed. Do not suppose that do ye not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humbled, because they of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before they would believe. And the faith that those brothers and sisters there are just, you know, it had touched my heart, and it made me actually, to be honest with you, feel very inadequate. And yet I know that the scriptures witness to us that they would receive blessings and healings, and there were while we were there, and that those blessings and healings our salvation is for all those who are who humble themselves, whether or not we're compelled to, or if we do it without stubbornness of heart and we humble ourselves. So I'm mindful of that need, and would like to talk some time some today about the time and day that we live in, and what we might need to do. You know, we find that in order to survive in our cultural and social and economical and political problems that we have in the world, we have a need to increase our spiritual strength by endurance and faithfulness. So what I would like to talk some about is the endurance and faithfulness today. And I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi. Nephi 12, verse 25. I'm going to try to turn on this my speakerphone if I can. If you give me a moment here, I can't turn the pages one-handed. Nephi 12, starting with verse 25. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. My Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I have had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me to be judged for their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. After this cause have I been lifted up, therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they be judged according to their works. And it came to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there can no more return. Because of the justice of the Father, that is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And he goes on there, and I'm going to skip down to the 33rd verse. And now this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the things that you must do in my church, for the works which you have seen me do, that shall you do. Which you have seen me do, even that shall you do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for you shall be lifted up at the last day. We have a promise there of the Lord, commandment that we must be baptized, of course, but that we must endure until the end, and have faithfulness unto the end. And that's the hope that we have, and in the gospel, and that we are to do those things that we see that Christ have done. We are to be Christ-like. I happened to look up the word endurance in the dictionary, and it says the fact or power of enduring or bearing pain or hardships, ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions, stamina, lasting quality, duration, something endured as a hardship or a trial. We must continue. We must bear the things that are around us. We must raise ourselves up and put our complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That in Moroni in the 8th chapter, I'm just going to read this. Third verse says, I am mindful of you always in my prayers, continually praying unto God the Father in the name of his holy child Jesus, that he, through his infinite goodness and grace, will keep you through the endurance of faith on his hand. And in 2 Nephi, on page 163, verse 29 and 30, it's talking about those things that we need to do after we're baptized, that we've just begun on our journey. And verse 29 says, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope in the love of God and of all men. If you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. We must, press forward, knowing, that describes to me that there's going to be forces that are working against us. It may not be an easy task, but we must continue to press forward and having a perfect brightness of hope. We can't lose sight of our eternal salvation. We have to, that hope that we have of the resurrection and eternal life, that we don't allow Satan to rob us of that, but that we continue and we endure, active enduring and pressing forward, thinking of the word of Christ. It says that it's strict or thorough in the performance of duty. A faithful worker is an example. True to one's word, promise, are the vows or the covenant that we've made. Steady in allegiance or affection. Loyal, constant. Reliable, trusted or believed. Adhering or true to fact. A standard of an original, accurate, a faithful account. Full of faith, believing. The faithful are considered the believers, especially members of a Christian church, the body of loyal members of any party or group. We find that the Lord's faithfulness is mentioned in the Scriptures. In Isaiah 11:5 it says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdleness of his reins. That they're talking of Christ and the prophesying of his coming forth. And, it's his righteousness that binds us and gives him strength, that he never changes, that he's always there for us. And That's what by our faithfulness He binds us and has and leads us and guides us in our life, in eternal life. In the 25th chapter of Isaiah, in the first verse, it says, O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. In back to 2 Nephi on page 159. Starting with verse 91. Well, I guess that's that same quote from God. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness save it shall be made manifest in the light. And there is nothing which is sealed upon the earth save it shall be loosed. Wherefore, all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. And now, my beloved brethren, I must make an end of my saying. The promises of God and the prophecy of the coming forth of Jesus Christ and his millennial reign and is true. And we've already experienced some of those things. But we have to have that perfectness to look forward and to strive, to endure, and Him to bless us with the truthfulness that He speaks with. We're told in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, you know, of to put on the armor of God. And goes on and tells us the day and the time we wrestle with spiritual wickedness and high places, and yet He tells us, you know, to fortify ourselves with those things that He has given us, you know, with prayer, righteousness, and faith, and the Word of God, and to put them to practice in our life. And I'm not going to read the Ephesians there, but you know, that's always a good reading. But you know, the scriptures are just full of plain, simple truths. And sometimes I pass over some of the most beautiful things. And when some of us had an opportunity to travel to Israel a year ago, one of the places we saw was a spot that they felt that Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, when I first saw it, I was out on the Sea of Galilee, and I wasn't overly impressed with it. Later, we were on land and came from a different angle, and we're up on top of a mountain, or a hill, actually, and looked down on that spot. You could see it was a perfect spot for Christ to go up and speak. And, you know, the scriptures talk about... show us that, you know, he preached as he walked by the sea. He preached while he was talking to his disciples. He preached about the Galilee. But when we find that when he went to preach that Sermon on the Mount, and it, you know, that same sermon basically was preached in Judea and on this continent, you know, as we have in the third book of Nephi. And what a beautiful sermon. As we are attempting to endure, if we are attempting to strengthen ourselves spiritually so we can raise up above the clutter that we live in this world, well, we need to read some of the plain, simple things that are written. It says that Jesus went up into the mountain. Hello.
We're still here. Somebody dropped.
Okay. Anybody there?
Yeah, we're all still here.
Okay. I thought y'all shut me off. It said that when Jesus, I'm in the fifth chapter of Matthew. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and he taught them. It was a different circumstance. He did this on purpose. He saw the disciples and the multitude, and so he went up on the mountain and set himself down before them, ready to teach them. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's simple teachings. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Okay.
Those that mourn, I believe it's for those that, you know, have a godly sorrow and are repentive, among other things, and mourn for their sins and are asking forgiveness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, are we hungering and thirsting to righteousness? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do we forgive others as we want to be forgiven? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are we come before the Lord with a sincere heart, a broken heart, and a contrite spirit, as spoken of in the Scriptures? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And it goes on and says, blessed are they which are persecuted. No. Blessed are you that you have men revile against you. Just beautiful teachings. Another one over in verse 23, it says, therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. We aren't to have aught against our brother or sister, or if we think somebody has aught against us, we need to go to them and ask for forgiveness. It tells us to agree with our adversary, to be not to be contentious. All those things that we have a human tendency to do, we're to remove those things from our life. In the 43rd verse, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, be good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. Are we enduring? Are we continuing in faithfulness? My purpose is to reflect on the things that Christ has told us to do and the example that he's shown us to love our enemies And I pray for them that despitefully uses. Hard to do, but we have to get our stuff in that we might be able to endure. And the sixth chapter tells us, you know, to do those, says, take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. You know, do those things in secret. In secret, not out standing out on the corners. Don't do those things for to be seen of men, but do them to be obedient to the Word of God. Just as it gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer, a manner on which we should pray for simple things. The Lord already knows what we have a need for. You know, we're to honor the Lord and make His name holy in our life. Pray for the His second coming here to give us those things that we need on a daily basis. And forgive us our sins. Ask Him to help us to have strength to get above those things that Satan throws our way, and to forgive people that trespass against us. He talks about, you know, where is our treasure? You know, lay up those things that endure, the treasures in heaven, you know, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven which neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We seek the Lord. All those things that we have a need for will come. And we just have to place our complete faith and trust in Him. Don't judge. And tells us not to judge another. You know, we all do that to some extent. But we're not to. We have to repent of those things. And my purpose of reading those is to remind us of that, those simple things that He has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, the words of life, the examples that He gave us, that how we should live our life. Sometimes we get caught up in some of the theology and some of the deepness of the things that are written in the Scriptures, and I have a fear that we overlook those plain, simple truths that we're taught, just like as an example, the Sermon on the Mount, and that if we would dwell on these things and allow them to direct us, we'd have the understanding and the knowledge of the other things by the Spirit of God. When I think of endurance, you know, I looked that up in the dictionary, you know, and the first definitions I've gotten was, you know, endurance like for a marathon runner or something, you know, the physical endurance. And yet, I'm going to use it as an example. When we make a physical commitment to get ourselves in shape to run a marathon or get physically fit, we exercise, and we might exercise for long periods of times. We might do it fast and build up our heart rate, or we might walk for long periods of time or run for long periods of time to build up our physical stamina. One of the things that they might do before running on a marathon might be to eat carbohydrates, for example, to build up get the physical strength that we need. And you know, we can do those things spiritually to build up our spiritual strength, just as reading the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew, or the 5th, 7th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, you know, both of them being that same sermon. But, you know, they tells us some of the other places in the Scriptures, those things that we're to do to increase that, I believe. And I'd like to turn to James. Second chapter. Starting with the 13th verse. Everybody there?
Yeah, we're here.
We're with you.
Yeah, we're here.
I find this hard. You don't see anybody out in the congregation. Once. For he shall have judgment without mercy. And starting with verse 13, second chapter of James. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that thou hast shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. My brethren, though a man shall he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you shall say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Goes on and explains some of them, but we're given here that you know, we're to express our faith by those things, that by being obedient to God and following the example of Jesus Christ, by helping others. And those things us and give us an assurance, so it gives us the opportunities to know that the God's promises are true and they strengthen us. So one of the ways that we can endure and to increase our endurance is through being obedient, following the example and doing those things that Christ would want us to do. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy, 6th chapter. Let as many that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. That doctrine has been blessed to man. You give instruction. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. You know, we're to be good employees. Give an honest day's wage, or work for our wage, or labor. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputations of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such draw thyself. Withdraw thyself. For godliness with contentment is great gain. We're to be content with those things that we have, and to live a righteous life, and to give honor to God. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And we are not to be have envy for those things that other people have, and to seek those things that aren't above, but to seek the kingdom of God. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men to destruction and perdition. And it goes on and talks about the love of money. And but I like to go over to verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Let me go back to 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of silence falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. You know, we're to labor for those things that give us a sure foundation, that faithfulness in Christ, that will strengthen us and keep us through all trials and tribulations. So, Timothy, in the fourth chapter, tells us to be an example. We're to be an example of Jesus Christ. I have a reference here I'm not going to read, but one of the things that the Lord tells us to do for about all things, you know, our jobs, our homes, our children, our flocks, you know, everything. There's nothing that we shouldn't present to the Lord. And one of the things that I have to keep reminding myself of is the scripture that's given in the Book of Mormon and to telling us to watch out, because the Spirit that teaches us not to pray, or those times that we think, well, I don't really need to pray about that. We have to remember that Spirit is not of God, that's of the devil. Because the Spirit of God tells us that we're to pray about all things. We should have a prayer in our heart daily, continually. And so, if we want to endure and we want to increase our faithfulness and our spiritual strength, we must be continuous in prayer. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. It's Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, Savior, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. according to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, he's given us the way to endure. Goes on here. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, and to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, that they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes, if you're lacking those things, you're blind and cannot see. But, you know, he's promised here that he's given us all things. And we're to have, and we're to add to those things in our faithfulness, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and charity. And I looked up virtue in the dictionary. It says that a strength, a power, a moral goodness, purity, modesty, actions, and in our dress and in our life, modesty and purity. And in Philippians 4:8 it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in these things, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on those. Keep ourselves pure from the iniquities of the world, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our actions. A knowledge is a godly understand. The understand is spiritual knowledge of the things of God. Not the knowledge of books, but the knowledge of the presence of God in our life, and we ought to pray for that knowledge. We ought to we have a need to pray that we would have spiritual experiences personally, no matter who we are or what our age is or our circumstance, but that God might give us those gifts that we talked about in Sunday school, the Holy Spirit, and that burning knowledge that he can bless us with, and he's with us and he's guiding us. We need that. We have to pray for that. It says to add to it a temperance, which is a moderation in action, thought, or feeling, a control of our emotions and our desires in our temperament, to be in control of ourselves, to have patience, to being patient, and allowing the Lord in His timetable, not to run before Him, but accept those things that He's given us. Some of the synonyms for might be long suffering, forbearance. Denotes a capacity to endure hardship, or difficulty, or inconvenience, you know, without complaining. About be calm and self-controlled, and to have a willingness to tolerate. We're to have a brotherly kindness, or a basic love for all mankind. We're to have that charity that's spoken of in the scriptures so eloquently in several different places. We what I was trying to relate this morning is our need to have endurance and faithfulness in what the scriptures teach us, and the Lord has given us to strengthen those things, that we it might be found well with us in the last day when we do stand before God and be judged, that we might be perfect, that we might have our righteousness might lift us up. And, you know, the things that, trying to summarize a little bit here, we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. We're to be continuous in our prayer. We're to pray for all things. We're not to listen to the Spirit that tells us that we don't have to pray. We're to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. We're to put on the whole armor of God and those things that He's given us to fight Satan. You know, the truthfulness of the gospel, His word, our sword, and the armor of salvation and faith, and those things, and to use them and to stand and be ready to fight the battles and to overcome the things of the world. And we have to know that we have to deny ourselves, our own lust and weaknesses, and place our complete trust in Christ and strive to be like Him. I would suggest that in our quiet times, in our times of study and in meditation, that we review some of those things that the Lord gave to us in His sermon there on what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, or same chapters in the third book of Nephi. That we have those good works, if the Lord might bless us and strengthen us, that we lay up a sure foundation for ourselves, and that we bear those things and continue in our efforts to look within our own lives and to remove those things that are not pleasing to God, but to use those things that He's given us to bless us. And I'd like to close with a reading here. That's in my reference I have doesn't make any sense. Hello?
We're here still.
We're here.
At any rate, the gist of the, I can't find my reference, but, you know, my point was to try to get us to remind ourselves of the day and the time that, well, let me read this. From Book of Alma in the fifth chapter, starting with the 38th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before Him, that you may walk after the holy order of God after you have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking whatsoever things you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning for whatsoever things you do receive, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then always abide found in good works. May the Lord bless you and keep your diamond spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as your garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. So I hope that, I know that with everything that I brought, people have heard before. But my point was that as we look into our lives and we endeavor to strive to endure and to continue in faithfulness, that we don't neglect that the Lord has given us to help us and to strengthen us. Just as we talked about in Sunday school, the blessing of the Holy Spirit to you. And using that gift that He has given us, that indwells with us, that, you know, unless we call on it, it doesn't do us the good that it is designed to do. But we have to yield. And we have to remember that our natural instincts, by those, we're an enemy to God. But we have to humble ourselves. And we have to be faithful. We have a fervent desire and be diligent. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Buzz. And I think definitely we have all been blessed today. And I think, as our brother has asked, is that encouragement for each of us that we would first and foremost pray to the Lord and ask the Lord for His guidance and direction, and that exercising of our spiritual lives. And so I think we've all been richly blessed today. Thank you.